This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Well, as we know, it is the new year, and I wanted to talk a little bit about intentions and the power of motivation and the power of intention setting and how mindfulness relates to all of that. So oftentimes when we in the new year, we have a lot of reflection and we look back on the year, we look ahead to what might have been and what might be coming ahead. And it's often the self-improvement moment of the year, right? This is, of course, you know, statistically, I think this is when gyms have the most uptick in people. And for the month of January, gyms are packed, and then it slowly goes down, down, down. And this is when everybody decides they're going to meditate. So maybe you're here for the first time because you're interested in meditation. But this is it's great to have all sorts of plans and New Year's resolutions, and that's all good. And what I'm going to suggest is that we take a little bit of a deeper dive into that and look at what really is happening with motivation and intention, and maybe look at it not through the lens of self-improvement, like what do I need to change in myself or fix, but more about how do I want to be in my life and what kind of heart and mind do I want to have and what qualities do I want to embody. And these are really, we can think of it as an orientation of the heart as opposed to, you know, fixing myself because something is wrong or broken. So sometimes we find when we're in the new year that there's a lot of hope and anticipation and pressure and self-judgment and comparison with others. And we might have that, you know, I'm finally going to fix myself. I'm going to prove myself for that's the one thing I've been dying to do. I'm finally going to read every novel that I said I was going to read, or I'm finally going to, you know, stop being on my phone 18 hours a day or whatever it is. And so the question really is like, what is actually moving me? What's behind all of this? And as we start to look at our motivations and then shape it with intention, I'm going to explain that in a minute, we begin to have more flexibility with our mind and more capacity to work with ourselves. And we use mindfulness. So if we were, I'm going to give you a distinction between motivation and intention, and it's not exactly precise, and you might find me kind of mixing them up a little bit, but let's start here and we'll see how it goes. So when we think of motivation, we can think of it as like the deeper forces that move us. So like what we, you know, sometimes people talk about unconscious motivation. It could be habitual motivation, implicit, emotional. It can be rooted in fear. It can be rooted in desire. It can be rooted in love and wanting belonging. It can be a very wise and beautiful motivation that we carry about some aspect of ourselves or our life. Or it could be unwise, you know, and sometimes we don't even know our motivations, like we're tuned out of them. Now, intention is a little different. Intention, I want to distinguish it as the conscious direction that we set, okay? So it's kind of like how we aim the energy of motivation by being very conscious about something. And it can be chosen and it can be refined moment to moment, right? So it's like maybe my underlying thing is I want to be a really good parent. And then the intention, you could say, okay, my intention is to be a good parent, but it can be more specific, like my intention, my underlying motivation is to be a great parent. My intention is to listen deeply when my child makes a request and not be knee-jerk reactive, for instance. I'm just giving an example, I'm making up. So intention kind of shapes how we act and how patterns strengthen or soften over time. And in really, in some ways, if you think about it, intention makes a life. Right, because we have one small intention after the next, and that's what the day is about in a sense. It's like, okay, my intent to make breakfast, I intend to eat healthy, right? It can be deeper, it can be more shallow. But with our meditation practice, with mindfulness, we begin to a couple of things. We can begin to get more conscious awareness of the motivations, the underlying motivations, and then make mindful intentions that are in alignment with our deepest values. So what that can do is through the intentionality, we can even begin to shift our motivation into a more wholesome place. I'll give you some examples what I mean by that. So it's like, so think of like the motivation is like this underground well, and then the intention setting is like shifting the water in different directions, and then as we do it, it changes what's in the underground well. It changes the way the water is. I just made that metaphor up. I don't know if it really holds. Oh no, I was about to say, I don't know if it holds water. Sorry. Nonetheless, you know what I mean. So in the new year, this is like a great time to bring our awareness and our wisdom to both our motivations and to set intentions that help us with the motivation. So if we think about the way that motivations can largely be unconscious, or let's even take a step back, our behavior is on a kind of autopilot a lot of the time. We do stuff because of habitual patterns and unconsciousness. So we trying to get people to like us, trying to feel worthy, trying to avoid discomfort, wanting to be feel needed, wanting to make others need you. You know, we have all these motivations, and I really want to argue this is not bad, that there's nothing wrong with us when we have these what we might think of as unwholesome or not so healthy motivations. They're just completely normal human motivations. When we don't see them, that's when we can get into trouble, right? We're being kind of ruled by these unconscious motivations, and they limit our freedom. But when we do see them, then we start to have freedom. Hold on one second. My intention was to free my dog from my office space. I did it successfully. So just to honor that, like most, so much of our motivations are just human conditioning. And then a lot of times we also have beautiful motivations, you know, wonderful motivations that we live with and we live by throughout our lifetime. And so mindfulness helps us ask the question, like, what is actually moving me right now? What's going on? It invites us to check into ourselves deeply with ruthless honesty to discover what's real. And then once we have that clarity of intention, then we can make a decision about how we want to act and what we want to do in our behavior. So it's very in the Tibetan Buddhist world, they say, everything rests on the tip of motivation. Which is a very interesting and kind of like a provocative statement, but you know, when we think about a couple of things, I want to say, I'm going to give a few examples about motivations where seeing it was helpful. So for me, I'll give you. I was thinking about this story a number of years ago. I was in a had a friendship with this person, and then we ended up getting in like a kind of a rupture of our friendship, and I had given her something that was really valuable to me, and when we separated and we had this big rupture and we stopped talking, it was really sad because I had this closeness with her, and so A few years later, I decided I really wanted to heal the heal it. And so I did some meditation and thought, okay, I really, it's time. I'm ready to work through this. I'm ready to heal this. And as I started reflecting on my motivation, I realized that maybe perhaps the central reason that I wanted to heal this thing was to get back the thing I had given her. And it wasn't a pretty thing to notice about myself, but it was really important for me to notice it because I brought my mindfulness to it and saw with clarity, okay, this motivation is complicated. Yes, motivations often are complicated. I'll say more about that in a moment, but and that led me to more reflection and more process within myself till I got to a point where I felt like there was a genuine forgiveness and a repair that would happen that wasn't about like getting something. So that's just an example of how we might look more deeply into our motivation. And what I find, I was really happy I got to do a meditation retreat last, I don't know, about a month ago, and it was, or even last 3 weeks ago, it was just so wonderful. And for me, when I'm on a silent retreat, it's a time for I can have a really deep dive to check into my heart and what's underlying things. And I can pose myself a question and sort of see what the depth answer is. And I see what gets revealed to me. And sometimes when we're living the busy lives that we lead, we don't have time to do that. Now, I was looking at the research around motivation, and what I saw, there were a couple of different interesting studies around mindfulness. And some of them are just things like that when we articulate intentions, it makes our goals more accessible because we're starting to, rather than it's just like a vague sense of, oh, I should have a goal. I think it's going to be this, but it actually makes it more accessible and kind of achievable. Mindfulness strengthens the ability to act on intention and to notice when motivations are misaligned. And this was the study that I thought was kind of the most interesting. This was done in, it's sort of old, but 2007. And they, it showed that people were trying to remember exactly the study, but there's like a the relationship between the intention of something and then the behavior and what happened. And it had to do with people who are binge drinking. And I'm just looking at the study right now. It measured counterintentional habits related to binge drinking and found that habitual binge drinking obstructed the enactment of physical activity intentions among individuals acting less mindfully, but not among individuals acting mindfully. So, in other words, I think it was people who didn't want to exercise. You know what? I'm probably this is not the best example because I'm. Hold on, give me 1 second. So they looked at the intention of leisure time physical activities that. Intentions predicted physical activity among mindful individuals and not among less mindful individuals. So let me just give you the high level, which is simply that when we are mindful of our intentions, we act, it strengthens our ability to act on them, and that when we are unconscious of our motivations, we are misaligned. Like we don't know that we're we. When we're unconscious, we don't know, but when we bring mindfulness, we notice when our motivations are misaligned. So, and then there's also research showing that people who meditate can shift motivation from external motivation to intrinsic motivation, which is a little bit not exactly the same we're talking about here. But the other interesting one is shows us that mindfulness makes implicit motives more apparent. So, which leads to intentions that better affect our drive, our deeper drives. So, when we look at our motivations through with mindfulness, we start to act with more intentionality, more clarity, which is kind of what I'm trying to say, I hope. Okay. So, let's take a moment to think about intention as a compass and not a resolution, right? Like, intention is not, I, So we're talking about motivation. Now we're talking about intention. Remember, intention is sort of the moment-to-moment way in which we guide our rivers of life. So intention is not a goal to accomplish. It's more like a compass that we return to, a North Star, a lighthouse. So if you're navigating by a North Star, so I hear, I've never really navigated by a North Star, you're probably you're going towards it, but then you go, like if you're on a ship, it's going to go in a different direction and then it's going to go in another direction, but you keep coming back to the North Star. If there's a lighthouse, you're seeing it and you keep coming back over and over. So it's the assumption embedded in this is that we're not going to do anything perfectly, that we will forget the intention many times, and that remembering it is part of the practice. That each moment offers a chance to reorient. And that's really exciting because I think a lot of times, particularly for instance, with a New Year's resolution, I have to do it. I have to go to the gym 3 times a week. If I don't go to the gym 3 times a week, I'm a failure. But what we're saying with an intention is we set the intention to build a healthy body and mind, or however you want to phrase it, and then we move towards it, and then oh, we didn't go, but that doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. It just means we reorient back to what we're aiming for. So it's kind of like a recognition and an acknowledgement, and then a choosing again to go towards your goal, right? Your intention. So rather than like, I will be calm this year, it's like more like, when I'm not calm, may I notice it and begin again. And this is so in keeping with how we meditate, right? We are not trying, we can't be with the breath every single second. We fall off and then we remember and we kindly and gently bring ourselves back rather than there's something wrong with me. So this is a more mindful approach to attention. So we can bring intention, we can make New Year's intentions in this kind, loving way, and we can also bring it into our daily life. So we can have an intention when we meditate, and we can start our meditation. May this meditation bring me more ease and centeredness. May I meet this day with a moment of kindness or with lots of kindness. May this day be a cause and condition for more and more freedom and awakening. So setting that intention, remember that earlier science says the more you articulate it, the more results you have. So we don't do this a lot at UCLA Mindful, but if you're practicing mindfulness or meditation within some traditional, like religious context, like in Buddhism, they're always having you set a motivation. What's the motivation? So if you do a day long with me, we start the day with a motivation. I often do that with my daily practice, which I will talk about a little bit more in a second. May I meet this moment with kindness. May this day help me to be more connected to myself and those I love. And then, so it can be connected to our meditation practice, but we can use this intention practice anytime in the day. We can use it before speaking. What's my intention here? That famous little acronym, WAIT, wait. Why am I talking? That's an invitation to get in touch with your motivation a little bit. We can't, before we take an action, that's significant. I mean, you don't do it with every action. Should I turn on the car, off the car, or something? No. But like a major action that we're going to take, is this rooted in fear or is this rooted in clarity and calm? And so it's interesting because like I said, as you're working on this intentional level, it impacts the motivational piece underneath. It starts to shift what your motivations are because we make them conscious, and then we make take actions to have more clarity around it. We can bring intentions into different transitions in the day when we're waking up, when we're beginning work or school, and we're coming home before we go to sleep. And people often do that. And it's kind of an interesting thing to play with. So it's not like we make one New Year's resolution and we're done. It's like bring intentions throughout the day. Now, our motivation can be mixed, right? We, like that story I told you about the friend, I had mixed motivations. I did want to heal it, but I also wanted my thing back. I see mixed motivations with my child all the time. Like, part of me, she's on the phone. I have a teenager, she's on the phone, right? And it's like, get off the phone. And what's the underlying thing? If I investigate it, I really want her to have a healthy mind. I don't know. We don't know what the mind's doing to the brain. There's all this stuff. And then there's a lot of fear, like, what if something bad happens, or right? It's never, often things are very mixed. So it's important to notice the mixed motivations and gain clarity and just notice, oh yeah, I can hold two motivations. I can hold three. I can hold four. It's not a big deal. And then with intentions, we might fall into old patterns. We don't follow our intentions. It's not a problem when you don't do it perfectly. What we do is we practice with it. We pause, we notice, we reorient, and I talked about that before. So every moment offers us a chance to begin again. Every moment is a new year, right? Every moment is the new year. We can think of it that way. When we start playing with intentions and getting more consciousness on the underlying motivation, it's like shining a spotlight on what's usually unconscious. We start to see habitual motivations. They become visible and transformable, not by force, but by clarity and choice. And then over time, this intentional attention practice can shift the motivations towards more kindness, altruism, curiosity, and wisdom. So we can move from the places that we're stuck into more and more freedom. And when I started meditating many, many years ago, I mean, there were so many reasons. I had so many intentions for my practice and so many motivations. And I want to look for a moment at like the deeper motivations. I was practicing because I was suffering and I wanted freedom from suffering. I was practicing because I thought it was really interesting. I was practicing because when I started practicing in India, in the town that I was in, then everybody was doing it. So it was literally peer pressure, like practice meditation because everybody's doing it. So that was another one of my motivations. And over the course of a lifetime of practice, there's been different motivations for me. There were periods where I wanted to get enlightened. And I've talked to you all about this at times, like, oh, I wanted a mind that was totally free. I wanted to be like a sage. I wanted to be a nice person. But what I kept doing is investigating, getting clear, quieting my mind, checking in and seeing what was there. And sometimes I found things that I didn't really like. So, for instance, there was a period in my time where of practice when I realized that my motivation for practicing was because I didn't like myself. And if I could practice, maybe I would become a different person that I would like. And so when I saw this, I bring love and compassion and kindness to myself, and I start to heal that. So that underlying motivation shifts and changes. Okay, sorry, dog moment. So what I want to encourage us, there's so many ways in which we can set intentions for the new year, but mostly I'm really interested in us developing in our practice the capacity to see clearly within ourselves. And then, as we see clearly, even if we come into things that we're not crazy about in ourselves, that we begin to offer compassion and awareness to that part of ourselves and use the power of setting intentions to move us in the direction that we want to be. So, if I were to find something out that I'm like not crazy about myself, it wouldn't be like my My practice is to, my intention is to stop doing that. It might be that my intention is to be kinder when I see that arising. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm hoping I'm throwing a lot at you. I'm hoping I'm making sense here, right? Am I making sense? Yes. Okay. I see one nod. The rest of you are like, not really. Okay, I'm making sense. So the new year is symbolic, and it is a kind of beginning again time where we can move forward without erasing the past. And we don't step into this year perfectly, but we can step into it awake over and over and over. And we can adjust our ship and move in different directions until ultimately we see that the sea that our ship is on is just so exquisite and so beautiful, and that our hearts are just rich and kind and compassionate and altruistic, and we move ourselves there. And there's also a part in our practice that's really just about just being with what is simultaneously. So it's kind of a both and. It's like setting the intention, but holding it with a loose hand, for it to be what it is and to have compassion for ourselves no matter what. So in a little while, we're going to do a practice around intentions, but I want to pause right now and see where we're at. If there are any comments or questions about what I'm saying, because as I said, I threw a lot at you. Okay, Paula.
Hi. This is really, really resonating with me because I've been in a situation. I don't want to take up too much time, I guess, but in a situation where I've been doing a favor for someone for quite a while, and I've noticed that I was starting to get really resentful. And yesterday was kind of a, there was a lot of emotionality. And when I start trying to analyze or bring some mindfulness into what's going on, I'm aware that the problem is not the problem is not the person that is getting the favor from me. The problem is that I'm not being clear about what I am and am not willing to do. And then what's behind that is that gosh, it's kind of emotional for me, but behind that is a feeling that if I don't do things, then I'm not going to be liked. And I know that's, gosh, I wasn't going to get upset. I'm sorry.
No, it's real.
But I see that that's what it is, and I know that about myself. I mean, I know that I definitely try to make other people happy, but it just really hit me that I think I need to be try to be braver, and to feel confident to just express what's okay with me and what isn't okay for me, And like I said, it's just a fear that if I do that, it's going to be like, well, then who needs you? Because I have experienced that, and so I'm trying to avoid that. And but it's on me, right? And I recognize that. It's not your fault if you're willing to take and I'm willing to give. And there's nothing else that we're discussing about it. Then So anyway, I just want to share that this is like really super timely for me, and I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, Paula, thank you. And people are writing in the chat that they can relate. And It is very brave of you to be able to kind of look clearly at it and what is my part, right? And where am I afraid to be there for myself, essentially? Like, where do I abandon myself? And then this is a beautiful place for the intention. Like, I am going to try. It's not like I'm going to do it perfectly, but I'm going to maybe it's check in with my body before I say yes to something. Maybe there's something when if you were to just kind of sense right now, like, what's a really simple thing that I might be able to do just in the direction I want to go? What might that be?
I think it would be just trying to be mindful of my intention, I guess, of what when I say yes, I will do that. You know,
Great.
what's my intention? Is my intention just because I want you to like me? And maybe sometimes that's okay, right? But like I said, it was kind of building up, you know. And then yesterday was kind of like just very emotional, you know, and but yeah, so
It's great. I mean, you're definitely not the only one. I'm just going to say that really clearly. You are not the only one. And
yeah.
I love that you're seeing it. And you're using your mindfulness, and that's the place. It's just like amplify your mindfulness right in that moment when they ask, when you ask, are asked. Maybe, you know, some people do something like they never say yes immediately. Like they say, I'll get back to you, which gives you time then to kind of feel what's there and see. And then you can make the decision to do it out of wanting to be liked. It's not that big of a deal. It's just, doing it consciously is a really different thing than doing it unconsciously, right?
Okay. Yeah. And somebody said here, learning to set boundaries is a lifelong struggle for all of us. And I think that's what it is, because a little bit yesterday, it was just, geez, I'm not a kid. You know, why am I going through this still? You know, I should be. This should have been resolved years ago, right? So, yeah. But
Exactly.
anyway, I appreciate your time. Sorry to take up too much,
No,
but
it's great. It's every look how many people have felt similarly. So thank you, Paul. I appreciate your willingness to share. I appreciate
thank
it.
you.
So someone, yeah, a lot of people are saying they resonate. Here, I'll just read what Maureen said. A friend, a union organizer, recently told me about the multiplier effect, a strategy used in organizing. They set out to add energy to positive spaces rather than to correct negative ones. That seems related to what described. Yeah, that's interesting. I never heard of that, the multiplier effect, but that makes sense, right? It's in light of what we're talking about, it's really interesting. We learn from, yeah, people were talking about learning from that. Dan, were you asking about something that Paula just said, or was it in relation to my story? I'm not sure. Anything else about intentions before we try a short practice connected to it? Oh, my story. Okay. So the question was my intention to forgive or seek acceptance? My intention was to like repair a relationship that had really gone awry. It was a person I was close to who, it was, you know, we had a big falling out and I still cared about them and wanted to reconnect, and I needed to do some forgiveness. They probably needed to do some forgiveness towards me, but I didn't have control over that. And ultimately, I wasn't, yeah, I mean, it may, it's still in process, to be perfectly honest. It may be about acceptance of it as it is. So I don't know. Okay. All right, so let's try this short meditation connected to everything we've been talking about. Okay, so just taking, getting connected to yourself, taking a few breaths. Feeling our bodies, hearts, and minds, just noticing and sensing what's here. We're going to play with a few different types of intention. One around our practice and one around stuff that's happening in our lives. But let's take about a minute or two to just come back into our bodies, feeling our breath, our feet, listening to sound. So I'm going to start with our meditation practice and just invite you to reflect on this kind of deeper question of motivation, like why do I practice? And as I said in my own life, there it's a lifetime of behind it, like a lifetime of different changing motivations. Just today, for today, if you were to ask yourself, why do I meditate, or why do I come to class, or why do I study mindfulness? Why do I practice it? What is the reason behind it? What is the motivation? What's the why? And there is no right answer. It's going to be very individual for all of us. And as you get in touch with that, how does that feel? How does that feel? Like, oh, I'm doing this because it's really helping me with stress. I do this practice because it keeps me sane in difficult times. I do this practice because I think it benefits my family and communities I'm part of for the sake of many beings. What is your motivation here? And as you say it in your mind, and as you come in contact with it, just notice it, notice it, notice how that, how does that feel to acknowledge? And you can ask yourself, is there anything else? Maybe even something I'm not aware of. See what emerges. And really bring kindness to yourself for whatever emerges. Now, notice if there's an intention you might want to set for yourself for this year with your mindfulness practice, since it is the new year. Is there an intention? Now, this is different than the motivation, right? The motivation is like looking at the why, and the intention is the what. And so maybe my intention is to sit every day, or my intention is to bring mindfulness into my daily life, or to wash dishes with mindfulness. Or to listen with care and mindfulness. You can think, what is your intention if you have one? Not to do it perfectly, but just to guide ourselves to our North Star. And as you come up with something, notice how that feels inside. And now there might be, as I was giving my lecture, there might be something in your life that came up, like someone in our group came, something came up where you feel that there's more to your motivation than you realize, or there's something you haven't quite looked at. Or, and there may not be this, but if there's some situation in your life where you feel like there's maybe some mixed motivations, let that come conscious. And this could be really anything, just if something emerged. And so, if there is a situation like this, what might be an intention you can have for handling this? And the intention may be simply, may I face this with curiosity and kindness? May I pause in difficult situations? May I be kinder to myself about this? What's your intention? And notice what that feels like as you make contact with that, as you state it in your mind. And then, lastly, with all of this, is there some kind of, excuse me, is there some kind of intention for this year that you might want to move in that direction of, and that might be, maybe it's simply a quality you want to cultivate, or just sort of a way of being. May I meet this year with more kindness? It might be something specific, like, may I not overwhelm myself by the news, or may I get off my phone? You can do one of those practical ones, or maybe there's like a quality or a way of being, something you want to embody that you might want to commit to. Or move in the direction of. Notice what emerges. And then notice how it feels. And then let's contemplate this whole room of people who all have intentions around their practice, around a specific situation, or maybe something for the new year. Just let's hold their intentions. We don't know what they are, but just wish them well and wish that everyone can work with their intentions in a way that's no pressure, but yet leads to more happiness and joy, ease, well-being. Care for ourselves and each other and our world. Let's open our eyes if they're closed. And I gave you a lot to reflect on. So, if there's any intention that you want to share in the chat, that would be great. It could be there were three possibilities. But I'd love to hear it, and it's kind of inspiring for other people to hear what other people are planning. So if you want to just pop that into the chat. Self-compassion. It's a good one. Okay, I see a good question. I'll come back to that. Let's just see what people are. To be gentler with myself. Nice. More mindful of my digital consumption to stay on the path. May I find joy in this day to hold grace and space for the real me. Beautiful. So for Mariel was asking, what if I have too many? Yeah, you don't want too many, because if you have too many, you just won't do any of them. So my encouragement is, maybe meditate on it a little bit and see which of all the many that have come up could be, like, either there's one that's overarching or there's one that you can hone in on and just keep it simple, because the simpler it is, the easier it's going to be to stay connected to it. Not being overwhelmed by the news, try to live with more peace and happiness rather than just try to get to the end of my life. Thank you. That's a good one. To be curious about difficulty and walk towards it instead of away from it. How do I break a habit of taking better care of others than myself? Yeah, I mean, this is that's a big question. It's come up a few times tonight. I've given a talk before on, taking care of ourselves in light of the suffering of the world, and I'm happy to talk more about that again in the coming week. So maybe I'm not here next week, but when I'm back, maybe I'll talk about that again. It seems like it's come up as a theme. Would that be helpful? Talking about how to take care of ourselves and not everybody else, but still, we can care for others. I'm going to tell you, so two of the comments just have led me to a quick story before we close. Someone said to be curious about difficulty and walk towards it instead of away from it. And this also to try to live with more peace and happiness rather than just try to get to the end of my life. A family member, my mother-in-law, passed away this over December, and she was 87, and I'm, as I think, I'm newly married, so I wasn't personally that close to her because I didn't know her very well, but lovely, amazing, incredible woman. And her husband is 92, and when they asked him how is he doing without her, he said, I have always had a gift in my life, and that is the gift of curiosity. And I'm so curious what happens next. So I want to kind of leave you with that for those of us who are talking about bringing more curiosity. And then even at 92, I mean, it's incredible, 92, having that, like, zest for life, and wanting to live with and curiosity. It's part of mindfulness, right? Opening to what is with curiosity, openness. So, in any case, I wish it's so good to be back. It's great to see everybody. We will meet again in so next week. I forget who's coming. I think it might possibly be Banu, I think. And then I'll be back in 2 weeks and we'll go to this concept of self-care a little bit. And then we'll do other things as well. And who knows what's going to evolve over the year. But it's been really lovely to reconnect. And I hope this is helpful. And I will see you in a few weeks. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.